Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with David Kibler. He is the founding pastor of Catalyst Christian Church down in Nicholasville, Kentucky. So if you don't have a church home, it'd be a great place to check out. We've had two programs. One, we talked the first program on Monday about what it's like to bury a child. He and his wife lost their precious son at 10 days of age. So you might want to check that out. Then yesterday, we talked about what he learned from going through that trial and how he decided he did not want to play it safe. And a lot of us talk about we want to make a difference with our one and only life, but you know, it's pretty comfortable a lot of times here in the United States. And he just shared some great examples, and I think you'd be really blessed by either one of those programs. So I want to encourage you to go check out those podcasts. You can find those at our website at your convenience. They're only 14 minutes long at hopeishere.today. We're going to talk about a topic now with David that I think a lot of people struggle with. I know for me I do at times, and that's prayer. And obviously Jesus modeled kind of the way we should do that, but yet one, our society, we get so busy. But number two, when we get wounded sometimes and our prayers don't get answered, David, sometimes it's hard to pray, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And especially when you feel like you've done everything the Bible says to do and nothing happens. When we lost our son, we did everything the Bible said to do and lifted him up before the Lord, and nothing happened, and so my belief in prayer really took a hit. Here I was a youth minister, but I just kind of quit praying. I got this thought in my mind that you know, God's gonna do what God's gonna do. You know, I still love you, Lord. Still love your scriptures and everything. But you know, I just can't get my hopes up and hoping that you're going to do something and you're not. And so I'm just going to stop asking, and I'm going to trust in your sovereignty, and just kind of lead me, tell me what you want me to do. But I'm not going to really ask for anything, because it's just not worth it. That's where I was. And so 3 years after that situation, when the potential to plant Catalyst, my lifelong dream of being a church planter, came up, didn't pray about it. And I was even contacted by a guy in my church, a guy named Dave Birdwhistle, who said, "Hey, I want to be on the prayer team." I didn't respond. So I didn't want a prayer team.
So let me get this right. You were planning a church, but there wasn't a prayer team.
We didn't have a prayer team. Nope. And because remember, God was going to do what God, if God wanted to fail, right. Succeed, absolutely. It's going to succeed. And if that's you wanted right. to fail, you're going to fail. It didn't matter what I said.
Because you had prayed for something and fasted and just right. everything the Bible said and didn't get that answer. Yeah, so, you know, hey. I know there's somebody listening right now thinking, man, I get that. Yeah. You know, I prayed for something. I fasted for something, yet my wife still walked out, or my husband walked out, or I lost my job, or we lost our house, and the child died, as you all unfortunately suffered. So I think this is real. And you're hearing a guy that his church did happen to come together and just celebrate their 10th anniversary. So I want to encourage you and keep listening, because just because you've gone through a season like that, I'll call it a dry season, winter season.
A desert.
Okay, let's keep it real. Yeah, a desert. Uh-huh. Yes, a desert. That God's still on the throne. He still loves you. So help us understand, you know, this church still did come together. So talk to us how you started praying again.
Well, I think probably those first couple of years were harder than they needed to be, because we were doing it all in our own power. I got four jobs, you know, because this was 2008, the economy tanked, and everybody that thought they were going to, said they were going to support us, didn't. All the organizations said no. Our mother church was experiencing some turmoil, so the support they were going to give didn't happen. And so I went out and delivered newspapers every morning. Back then, people still, you know, read the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
what time did that start?
3 o'clock in the morning. And then,
Dave, I don't even know if God's up at 3 a.m., man.
It's 7 days a week. Rain, sleet.
7 days a week.
7 days a week. And then I substitute taught in high school, and I coached soccer, and then I pastored. I had four jobs trying to support my family and get Catalyst off the ground. So, I mean, go after your dreams, people, because but I still think that those first years were harder than they needed to be, because, like I said, we're doing it in our own power. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, it was a couple years after that, kind of reflecting on how hard those years were. It's hard enough planting a church, but doing it that
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
The words of that old cheesy hymn, I'm not going to say cheesy because I just offended
right.
somebody, but
right.
but that old hymn that I don't like, Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Mm.
I mean, and I realized, you know, man, you're making it purposely harder. I'm carrying weight that I don't need, you know, kind of, and you go back to the athlete thing, you know, I'm running this mile and I'm carrying two water jugs that I don't have to carry because I'm not taking it to the Lord in prayer. Mm. And so, but then every time I started thinking that, the whole experience with Jacob came back about, well, look what happens though. You get your hopes up and he's just toying with you. He's not real interested, and or there's a good lesson in there for you. You know, and I was, quite honestly, I was just tired of learning hard lessons and
sure. Like,
don't get your hopes up kind of thing. And so but then as I studied it more, I realized that my entire focus of prayer was off. The whole, and this is what all of us Americans are taught, that the reason you pray is because you need something, you get something, and the focus of the prayer is the gift that you get, whether it's the healing of your son or the job promotion or the healing of a marriage, the gift that you get, that's the purpose of prayer. And when you don't get that, then something's wrong. Well, I give a lot of props to a book called The Papa Prayer by Larry Crabb. It said that the purpose of prayer is to get God. Mm. And you have to get God before you get anything from God. And he's the brilliant example. How many of us, and I'm sure people out there listening right now, how many of y'all have that friend, quote unquote friend, that the only time you hear from, they want something? You know, that phone, you know, you pick up your phone and it's that, oh, what are they, you know, that, hey, my good friend, you know, hey, you know, you still got those tickets, you know, right. or man, you got 50 bucks, like, you know, well, pretty soon, I mean, what do you think about that person? What, you know, and I realize, you know, am I that person to God? That man, when he sees me hit my knees, like, oh great, what does he want this time?
Yeah, what's Kibler want this time?
Yeah, and I know he doesn't look, because he knows right. Our hearts and everything. But I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
And it was a conversation, quite honestly, with an inmate from my Inside Out Dad class in jail. That I told him, I said, whenever you get out, I want you to call me. I'll take you out to lunch, and everything, because I'd love to reconnect with you and just say congratulations for getting out, because I really like these guys. They're really good. I really enjoy them. And so he calls me up and says, hey, you'd like to go out to lunch? And I said, well, sure. He goes, well, what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm working on a sermon, you know, on prayer. And I said, man, I'm really having tough this, you know, I'm really having, and I he knew about losing, so we shared that.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this inmate, okay? This is the I'm gonna imitate. I'm gonna tell you exactly what it sounded like because it's powerful. He goes. Well, he goes, now you the pastor, not me. But why are we talking right now? And he said, the only reason we're talking right now is I don't want anything from you. He goes, I don't want you to pay my rent. Don't want you to fix my car. He goes, I just want to have lunch with a friend. He goes, no. He said, if I would have called and said, Pastor, I need you to do this and this and this, you'd have hung up on me. And he said, I said, you're the pastor, but I think God done hung up on you.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, I am the pastor.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Who are you to tell me?
I'll use the story. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, but the teaching points. And then it just hit me. Lunch with a friend.
Mm. Mm.
And so I was like, you know, Lord, maybe what my prayers need to be, they need to look more like lunch with a friend. Mm. Where I don't want anything, where you don't want anything, where we just enjoy each other's company. Instead of a session where I need stuff.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, my children, I will do things for them, not because they need things, because I love them. Mm-hmm. And I want them to come to me, not because they want things, because they want to spend time with me, because they want to sit on my lap, and I want to hear about their day, and I want to hear about what's hurt them, and everything like that. And what a tremendous analogy God has given us with our own children.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing changed. I don't ask really for things anymore. I just want to have lunch with a friend.
Mm.
And like I said, it was that inmate that just really pulled the wool off of my eyes and really just revealed how messed up I was and how wrong I was about prayer. Mm. And I really appreciate we still talk to this, so we pray together.
I love it.
And tremendous guy. He's doing great right now.
Praise God for that. We got about 2.5 minutes left. I want to hear a little bit about planting a church. I mean, I know, you talked about how hard it was and things, and I know it is because I have other friends that have done this, but there's also a little bit of humor, like, some of the rumors that go around. Can you share some of those with us?
Well,
or criticisms or whatever.
And this is one of the things I found. Anytime you start something new or do something, any of you guys out there want to plan a business, start a business or anything, do anything new, you're going to get criticism. It's a given. You're going to fail. Have some failures, not going to fail, but you're going to have some failures and you're going to have criticism. That's just the way it is. And so you just got to rise above that. But one of the funniest things, so you wouldn't think that the body of Christ would criticize a new church, but
no, man,
we got it big time because, we've been in youth ministry and we were unproven and everything. We'd made our share of mistakes in youth ministry. So some of the ridicule is justified, I guess. But the best one started at a church in Lexington that we were charging $300 for people to join. And I looked at my worship minister and I said, dude, man, if that's true, man, you must be making bank because what are you doing with that?
Yeah, I'm still working three jobs, and on my paycheck. So,
and the funny thing was that we waited until about 10 months after we planted to actually have our first membership. So we didn't have members at the time, and so this this rumor just got started, but those things on a deep level do hurt you. They really
do. Absolutely.
When people are making up things about you, hoping that you fail and everything. But this is what I will tell everyone out there. This is my little proverb that I've come up with, and I really want to pass this on to people. And it's simply this: time and consistency silences all critics.
Mm.
Time and consistency silences all critics. So the things that were said about us in the first 5 months aren't being said about us at 10 years because we've had time and consistency. There's no, all those criticisms are gone. You stay consistent over a period of time. It doesn't matter what it is. People are going to shut up because they can't criticize you anymore. Time and consistency silences all critics. So just take that to heart.
Well, that's a great way to end this program. David Kibler's been with us, the lead pastor and founding pastor of Catalyst Christian Church in Nicholasville, Kentucky. As soon as you go into Main Street, it's on the right. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's right behind the courthouse.
Okay. So easy to find, a beautiful church. So I want to encourage you, if you have a church, on what time are your services?
It's at 10:30.
10:30. So go check him out at 10:30. It's been a great 3 days. David, thanks so much for being on Hope Is Here, man.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, I know people will be really blessed. So if you miss these programs, I want to encourage you to tell a friend and go to our website, hopeishere.today. You can be blessed. They're only 14 minutes long. And if you're looking for a new church home, go check out Catalyst Christian Church. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you next time on Hope Is Here.
Do you have a real estate question and don't know where to start? Contact Cecil Holmes with Rector Hayden Realtors. Whether you're in the market, looking to buy, sell, or rent a house, Cecil Holmes would be glad to help you with any real estate questions you have. Give him a call today at 326-0756. That's 326-0756. Cecil Holmes with Rector Hayden Realtors.